Dr. J Interviews is a collection of candid conversations with good Black professional men regarding life and career choices. I'm your host, Dr. J McCarthy. I'd like to welcome to my show, Mr. Wilder. How you doing today, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm really excited I got a chance to talk to you, man. I know we're busy man, man, so I appreciate you carving out some time for us here.
For sure. I definitely want to thank you for having me and, you know, just reaching out to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Let's go ahead and just get started and tell our listeners, what do you do for a living?
So what I do for a living, I'm actually a flight attendant, which a lot of people don't know because I like to keep that private. Because, you know, as soon as someone finds out, they're like, oh, I have a question about this. And why is it like this? And I'm like, listen, just forget I even mentioned it. Don't even think about it. But outside of that, I am a chef and I have a gourmet cheesecake company.
Dope. So tell me a little bit about, we're going to talk about being a flight attendant for a second, and then we're going to get into actually how I located you. What's a typical day for you?
A typical day is dealing with tons of passengers, tons of questions. You can be in literally three different time zones in one day. You're in different hotels. You're working with crew members. It's really fast paced, but it's exciting to literally be in a different city every day.
Wow. So do you have to have a degree? What's the plan for a young person that wants to get into being a flight attendant?
You don't need a degree, but you do have to go through a very intensive training. Like, it's very intense, hands-on. The main thing that people should always know about flight attendants is that we're not there to serve as far as, you know, drinks and snacks. We're really there for safety. And we are, like, in the air, we literally fill in the role of a doctor, a nurse, a police officer. Like, everything that we have to protect us here on the ground, that's what we have to be in the air. So it's really intense.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And then you say you're a chef, too. How did that come about?
Honestly, at this point, I've been cooking for over 20 years. So I literally grew up watching my mom and my grandmother in the kitchen, and it ignited this passion for food and for cooking on the inside of me, just watching them. And I literally at a young age, I just started experimenting with different foods. And I remember my mom bought me this chocolate factory where it had like molds. And so what I would do, I would melt chocolates and I would, you know, just pour in the chocolates, and that literally started it all for me.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go back to the flight attendant. I forgot to ask a question. What is like a salary range for flight attendants?
It really depends. So it's typically hourly, and it can vary from $20 to almost $100 an hour. It just depends on how long you've been flying. It depends on your airline, but it's mainly seniority based.
Okay. Do you think being a flight attendant helped with your palate?
Being a flight attendant definitely helped me because it allowed me to travel to all these different places. It allowed me to see all these different cultures and different foods. And, you know, I'm from Detroit. So what they have in Detroit, they may not have in California. What they have in Cali, they may not have in Louisiana. What they have there, they probably won't have it in Seattle or, I'm sorry, Washington. So, you know, being a flight attendant definitely helped me. And it also gave me a lot of exposure, and it allowed me to make a lot of connections with people outside of Detroit.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So for my listeners here, how I found Chef Wilder, I want to refer to you as, I was looking for some chefs for some episodes for the holidays, for Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. And when I was looking at different chefs, I found you. You were on a blog. What did they say? You were rated one of the top chef blogs out there.
Wow.
So I was like, and then I was like, and you were on MasterChef as well, correct?
Yeah, I was a part of MasterChef, which really jump started the entire cheesecake company. But prior to that, I was, you know, I was still doing my thing in the food world, just not the cheesecakes at that time.
I gotcha. And I'm going to tell my listeners here, if you don't know about this guy, he's being modest. I'm going to read some stuff here that I found on you. He's been featured on Delish, Pop Sugar, and Buzz Feet Tasty. He was also on, what's it, WXYZ in Detroit?
Oh, yes, that's ABC and Fox.
And he's the creator, as he stated, of Nostalgia Cheesecakes. He was a contestant on MasterChef. And then you also had a 10-page spread in the Fox magazine.
Yes, that was awesome. I was like, my mind is blown. I'm like, 10 pages and on the cover? That was insane.
That's pretty dope. I'm going to read what they said on that. They said, each year, Rashawn hosts food tastings where he debuts seasonal dishes, drinks, and desserts. As a result of the high demand, he launched both a gourmet soup and cheesecake line. The cheesecakes landed Rashawn in the top 80 of Fox MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay in season 10. For people, and I'm going to put all this stuff on the website, his food is just, oh my goodness, man. I was looking through the cherry crumble cheesecake, the white chocolate blueberry crumble,
my favorite.
The chicken and waffle and bacon donuts.
Oh, wow. Wow. I forgot about those. I did those about 2 or 3 years ago when I first started Eyes of a Foodie. And I was literally in the kitchen and I'm like, what do I love? I love chicken. I love waffles. I love bacon, of course. And I love donuts. How can I throw all of that together? And voila, I created that donut.
Man, I wanted to get on a plane and fly out there and get that. Man, anybody knows me know how much I love bacon. I was like, oh my goodness, man. So what sparks your creativity? Where do your ideas come from?
Honestly, I'm going to be real honest. My faith in God. I can literally just be driving down the street someday and I just feel God say, oh, you know, he just dropped something in my spirit. Or I can be in the store and something catches my eye and I'm like, huh, I wonder what that would be like if I, you know, use this in one of my recipes. And that's where a lot of my cheesecake flavors come from.
Man, that stuff is phenomenal. And I see on my notes, I didn't scroll down far enough. It was on a blog that said the top 10 black chefs to follow.
Wow.
And then they had your Eyes of a Foodie blog on Instagram. So,
wow.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful food, man. I love the creativity.
Thank you.
Were you self-taught or did you go to culinary school?
Nope, never went to culinary school. I tell people I learned in the kitchen of my mom and my grandma. That's the school that I went to. Old school right there.
Yes.
But what really, I think, inspired me too was back in the day when Food Network really first started, we had shows like 30 Minute Meals with Rachel Ray, and we had Mario Batali, and we had, you know, Cooking with Emeril. Like the pioneers of the Food Network. And I just grew up watching them. And I mean, they were taking risks and they were doing things that I had never seen before. And so, you know, pulling all that from me growing up and watching them and incorporating that into a lot of the dishes that I make today, I think that really had a big part to play on a lot of my dishes that I make.
I'm from the Midwest too, man, and my grandparents, one part of them from Carolina, the other part from Kentucky, but yeah, I was raised in Ohio, so I understand that Midwest and Detroit, man, try some good food. I love your pizzas there, man. Just
right? Can we just talk about the Detroit-style pizza really quickly? So, you know, I've been all over, and I've had, you know, tons of different pizzas, especially New York, Chicago, but I tell people my favorite, not because I'm from Detroit, but my favorite is Detroit style pizza because it's square, it's deep, and it's just like so freaking yummy. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but New York, Chicago, and Detroit style pizza. Now that's where it's at. I love Detroit style pizza.
Well, I feel you on that, brother, because I'm a crust guy. Like when I eat desserts, my favorite part is the back end of the crust.
Yeah.
And pizzas are the same way. And it's something about that caramelization and that deep pan of Detroit that there's nothing like it. They have, I'm here in Texas, and we go down to Austin a lot just to kind of hang out, and they have a bunch of food trucks.
Yeah.
And they have a 313 pizza place there that has Detroit-style pizzas.
Yeah.
And it is all kinds of different unique flavors, and we got some last time we went down there, and that food was so good. It was so good. So,
that's awesome.
You have to send you the link. If you're ever in Austin, you have to check that one out.
Austin is actually one of my favorite cities, and I've done a lot of different reviews at restaurants there. I love Austin. It's probably my favorite city in Texas outside of Houston. And man, what I love about Austin, there's this one restaurant, I forget what it's called. I think BBG's. and they have this huge burrito. It has barbecue chicken, it has fries, it has pico de gallo.
Oh, wow.
It has cheese, and they wrap it up, and I swear it's like the size of a football, and it's just amazingly delicious.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That sounds so yeah. good. So you're a foodie, so you go to the restaurants and you do reviews, you tell the listeners, and you post it like on your Instagram, and
yeah.
Do you have a website that goes with that, or is it mainly on Instagram?
It's mainly on Instagram, because that's really where it all started. I do have a blog, which is Eyes of a Foodie, but that kind of focuses on the cheesecakes.
I gotcha.
But yeah, people can check out my Instagram, which has a lot of different reviews from different restaurants from all over the country, not just Detroit, but all over, because of, you know, with work, I get to travel all over. So, yeah, they can definitely check that out. But I want you to check that place out when you go back to Austin.
Definitely, man. You know, me, we're like 2.5 hours. We've driven down there for date nights. We're like, hey, let's just go to Austin, awesome. You know, hit 35 and go straight down.
That's awesome.
And this is kind of off the cuff question. With you eating all the foods, how do you stay in shape, man? You guys can't see, but he's in well shape. And
people, I swear, I get that question every day, but I'm like, people think I eat all this food. Like, I will taste it, but honestly, I cannot eat all of that food. Like, it's yeah. just almost impossible for me. And I don't eat much anyway, even prior to doing what I do. But I think it's important to, you know, just monitor what you eat. I feel like you can eat anything in moderation, but, you know when you're full, know when to stop, and, you know, if you're going to eat more, try to work out a little more, get some cardio in. You know, with me being a flight attendant, I'm always walking in different cities on a plane and different airports. So I try to stay as active as I possibly can.
That's awesome, man. You know, one of the things I love about your story, it's kind of like my grandfather, he used to cut hair, and I have a bunch of kids, I have a bunch of sons, and I don't have my barber's license, but I can line them up pretty well. You know, same thing in the culinary world. I love that you use things that you learned growing up, and then you just added your own creativity yeah. and your own flair to it. You know, and I'm sure that, like I said, I interviewed another chef all the time. I know that there's people that probably went a traditional route of culinary school that may look at you and may feel a certain way, but you can't teach creativity, yeah, you know.
That's true.
My grandmother, you know, I always brag, my late grandmother, she used to make the best apple pies. And I mean, she didn't measure it. She just knew what a pinch was. And this. And I used to joke, like, maybe it was the oils in her hands that made the stuff taste so good, you know, but. That was just a different era, man. They grew their own vegetables and foods and were very creative in their own right. So it's inspiring to see a young brother like yourself taking that torch, you know, and continuing on. And like I said, your food looked fantastic. I'm not just saying that for lip service. I was just going through that food line. Man, I must be just fat, man. Cause I was like, everything looked good on there, man. It was like three different kinds of blueberry cheesecakes, man. And just the crust and just, oh man, just so creative. I love the creativity.
Yeah, when I set out to do the cheesecakes, which in the long run, actually at the beginning, I had no intentions on doing cheesecakes, but I made one for my audition for MasterChef, because before we get out to LA and start filming and all that, you have to go through a long process of auditions and rounds and, you know, different interviews that you have to do prior to actually getting there. And so I had auditioned in 2017 and I didn't make it like past the first round. So I was like, you know what? I never wanted to do it anyway. And so the following year, one of my good friends said, you should do it again. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think so. He said, just try it. So I'm like, okay. So I had to figure out, what can I do that's going to make me stand out from other people? And so I remember the first year I auditioned, which was the previous year, I saw a lot of people with like these awesome desserts that made it to the next round. And that year I did one of my Thai dishes. And so I said, well, you know what? If I do a dessert this year, maybe that'll get me to the following round. So I said, let me do a cheesecake. I was not making cheesecakes prior to that. You know, and I'm like, how do you make a cheesecake look pretty? Now, every dish that I do, I always want it to be, you know, appealing to the eye. We eat with our eyes first. Hence, that's where Eyes of a Foodie came from. And so I'm like, you know what? I love cookie butter. I love cheesecake. I wonder if I make a cookie butter cheesecake, what would that do? What would it be like? What would it taste like? What would it look like? And so I set out to create that dessert. And the funny thing is, I had just gotten back from work, from flying. I went to bake the cheesecake and my oven went out. I've never had issues with my oven prior to that. So I'm like, okay. All right, God. I'm like, God, are you, what you saying? Should I not do it? So I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to do it. So I found another way to bake my cheesecake. And the auditions were actually in Dallas that year. Mind you, I live in Michigan, okay? And I fly standby for work. So I had to fly back. I had to fly to Dallas, right? Ironically enough, I kid you not, the Detroit Lions were playing who? The Dallas Cowboys. What does that mean, flying standby? Every flight was oversold. So I'm like, okay, God, nah, are you really telling me I shouldn't go? Like, what's happening, you know? And so anyway, I was waiting in the airport for like 5 or 6 hours just trying to get on a flight. Finally got there. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get to the audition place. I don't know how, you know, how I'm going to plate my dish. I don't know what. But anyway, called one of my friends who lived in Dallas. He got me there. And I'm thinking I'm going to be on time. I got there at the time I was supposed to arrive. And I was number 365 or 368.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now I have to wait even longer. Mind you, I have a cheesecake. So I'm like, how am I going to keep this thing, like, at least cold and presentable? So this lady who was sitting next to me, she had an extra ice pack. And I'm like, oh, should I ask her? Should I ask her? Should I ask her? And I said, hey, I hate to do this. I know this is a competition, but can I use one of your ice packs? She said, sure. I said, oh, snap. Okay, cool. You know, so she let me use it, which was like a saving grace because I also had whipped cream. So anyway, they finally called my group. So we went in and they gave us for legal reasons, but they gave us a time to plate our dish. And so we're plating the dish and I'm shaking. I'm nervous because I'm like, man, that was what I just went through to even get here. Had me like shook. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, I'm doing my thing, plating my dish, and they're like, hands up or hands down. So I'm like, I had just made it. And so the judges were going around and they were tasting each dish. And one girl, she got to me, which was she was a chef for Gordon Ramsay at one of his restaurants. And she tasted my cheesecake. She said, So she started asking me some questions. Why do you want to do this? And my answer, I said, well, I want to do this to show young Black people that if they have a goal, if they have a dream to go after, right? So that made her ears perk up even more. So she turned around, kid you not, she said, you guys need to come and taste this. So I'm like, oh, snap. Okay, I think I may be on to something with this cheesecake. And so anyway, this guy, he came over. He put that entire slice of cheesecake on his plate and walked away. He didn't even taste it. So I'm like, okay. Huh. I'm like, is he going to taste it? Like what? So he went back to the table. He tasted it, came back to me. Kid you not, he said, put 4 more slices on this plate. So I'm like, now everyone in the room is looking at me because now all the attention is on me, right? So the other judges, they stopped what they were doing. They went to taste my cheesecake. And they went crazy. Now, I had other people who were also auditioning. They're like, give me a slice. Give me a slice. So I'm cutting slices for everybody in the room. I ain't even tasted the cheesecake yet myself. So now everyone's going crazy over my cheesecake. And I'm like, okay, this is a lot different from last year. Because last year, I didn't even, you know, get any rate. Well, you know, I mean, they said I had a good dish, but they weren't going crazy like this year. So anyway, the executive producer came into the room and he said, if I call your number, you made it. And they're like 365. First number they called 365 or no, I'm sorry, 368. I look down and I'm like, that's my number. Oh, snap. Like, okay. snap, this is awesome. So anyway, I kept making it to the next round, to the next round, to the next round. After that, you go through all the processes of the interviews and all that stuff. And then I eventually got the call months later that I had made it to, you know, LA, which is the top 80. And that's when they start filming and all that good stuff. So I said all that to say that that cheesecake was birthed out of, I mean, I just feel like it was birthed out of, you know, just love, more importantly. But I wanted to do something different. But I wanted to do something that was different and was true to me. And because I loved cookie butter, because I love cheesecake, I figured, let me put myself into this cheesecake and see what happens. And it worked for me. And it's been such a blessing, like, till this day. And that was in 2018.
When they do those interviews, are they like psychological to see if you're stable enough, or are they just trying to pick your brain to kind of see your background so it looks better for TV?
Like, what are the? No, that's one of the that's one of the parts of the interviews. You know, the psychological interviews, because they do want to see where you are mentally. They want to know your history. They want to know your past. Should they look out for anything if you were to be on the show? Should they look out for anything if you are seen on the show? You know, so, I mean, I think it's more so to cover themselves, which is good, you know, legally.
I think that's dope. And I said in the past, and I say it to my kids all the time, success is where that preparation meets that opportunity. It's where, yeah, they intersect. And I think that's, it's dope how you prepared yourself all these years, you know, for that opportunity. So when it presented itself, yeah, you were ready to go. Were you nervous knowing there was going to be on a national stage once you got to that?
I wasn't nervous because from a young age, and I think I always knew that I was different. I had always known that. And it wasn't evident to me or real to me until I started living for God. And I remember there were many words spoken over me. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to be this. You're going to do this when you're older. And then one day it really hit me, because I just knew that God has set me apart. He made me different. And I think I was prepared, or he prepared me through the years, because even in college, you know, I do have a bachelor's in communications and a minor in theater. And so even that helped get me to that day. And, you know, I had done radio. I had a radio show years ago back in Detroit. Theater, you know, I was in live theatrical shows. I was in front of tons of people. I was a public speaker. So I think, you know, it didn't make me think any differently. It didn't cause me to act a different way. It didn't cause me to put on a show for anyone. I was just myself. And the funny thing is, when I was growing up, I hated public speaking. I had a speech impediment. I was really shy and timid. I always kept to myself. So the very thing that I hated is the very thing that God used. And it's like, that's crazy. And I'm so thankful and glad for that.
So this is going to be so ironic to the listeners. I just interviewed a guy. His name was Dr. Tyus. And he was talking about your purpose is tied into that very thing that you don't want to do.
Wow.
And I told him, I was like, repeat that, brother. And I actually even quoted it on the website. So I think that's so powerful for someone. This message is supposed to reach you. That was on your heart to say for a reason.
Yeah.
And I also, like, you know, I was talking to my wife the other day. We were talking about one of my sons and the different gifts and abilities that he has, and how sometimes when you try things and you fail, you can get down on yourself, but you don't realize every failure, you learn something for it, and you're going to use that at some point in life. Like you said, you know, the ability to speak and all these different tools that you accumulated through the radio show and whatnot. When that opportunity presented itself, that was already in you. So you had a different confidence, you know, and exactly. You can't see that when you're going through those failures. So
right.
I appreciate you sharing that. While you talking about that, let's pivot to your childhood. Tell me a little bit about yourself when you were growing up.
Well, I am the baby of three boys. So, okay. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. So I have an older brother and an older sister on my dad's side, and they are 10 and 11 years older.
Okay.
On my mom's side, I had two older brothers. They were 10 and 4 years older. So there was always a big gap between me and my siblings. I grew up primarily with my my siblings on my mom's side. And so growing up, I was the darkest one in my family. I was the only one with a different last name. They were into sports. Everyone loved them. I was the complete opposite. I hated sports. Like I mentioned, I was very shy, very timid. And I got down on myself because I wore these big bifocals. I had braces. And I was really dark, like the darkest one in my entire family, not just out of my siblings, but my entire family. And I had a different last name. So that made me feel really bad. And I think that's why I turned to food. Mm-hmm. And I was really chubby, too. So I turned to food in the sense of eating it, but also cooking it. Like, for real. And so it was tough because I remember I would always question my mom. I said, "Mom, why do I have a different last name?" And she said, "Well, you have the name of your dad." I said, "Yeah, that's cool. But why didn't you give me your last name?" She said, "Well, that was my marriage name. And that was their dad. So I can't give you that name." But what I realized when I was older was that I had a different last name for a reason, because God set me apart. I didn't realize that at the time. You know, I was younger.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was different in a bad way at that time. So it was really cool that I felt like I was actually set apart, that I was different, because I think it caused me to think differently. It caused me to make sure that I was always on top of my game. Like in school, I was a straight A student, literally from K through high school. And even in college, I was always on the dean's list, tons of awards, one of the top students in my field in communications, not just Black students, but one of the top students in general. So I think my childhood had a part to play in the reason why I felt like I had to exceed at everything. My brothers, they were always getting into trouble. So I'm like, I see how that caused my mom hurt and heartache. So let me not do what they're doing. Let me do something differently. And, you know, both of my brothers, they passed away about 6 and 7 years ago, each, both of them, in car accidents. And, you know, that ripped me to shreds, because I'm like, my brothers, we were supposed to grow old together. We were supposed to, you know, take care of mom when she got older. But they both died, you know, at 32 and 26.
Oh, my God.
And left me. And I was angry, not at the fact that they died, but angry at the fact that y'all are gone and I'm just here. And when mom gets old, I'm going to have to take care of it by myself, you know? So, yeah, it was deep. And there are still days where I'm just driving down the street and then just, you know, I'm worshiping in the car, just tears starts rolling down because I'm like, darn, my brothers are here, you know? And I wish they could see everything that I've accomplished thus far. I wish they could be here and, you know, and bask in that with me. And, you know, they do whatever they had dreams for. But I don't blame God. Can't blame God. Wouldn't yeah. blame God. But I am thankful that he gave me and my mom strength to get through it. And that he empowers us daily to, you know, keep going, to keep growing, to keep pursuing him, and to keep being the best versions of ourselves. Because I tell people all the time, what you go through is not just for you, but it's for other people, and to show them what God can do and what he can deliver them out of.
Amen. I believe that, brother.
And so, see, one thing that you don't know, I'm a preacher too.
Hey, but you... But it's good that you're speaking his word, because, you know, like I was talking to you before the interview, you know, the whole idea of this is mentorship, man. Mentorship, young brothers, man. And oftentimes when we were growing up, we didn't have, or I know I didn't. Let me rephrase that. There were people that I believe God put in my life at integral points that kept me from going off the path. So yeah, I don't want to be dismissive to them, but I do wish that I had more knowledge of just like career paths and just different things that I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And from spiritual brothers, everybody that's come on this podcast is a spiritual brother. They're in tune. Yeah. They worked hard. We've all made mistakes. And it's important that these young people know you're going to make mistakes. But we're just trying to keep you from making certain mistakes that are kind of uncoverable from, you know, some stuff. And it's not that you can't recover from everything, but some things, it's a lot longer path.
Right.
When you were younger, and like I said, I grew up in Ohio and we visited Detroit. So I know how that city was, crime wise. It's kind of like where I grew up at. What did you want to be when you grew up? I know you said you were into the theater and the arts. Did you want to be an actor or what were your goals?
Well, I always wanted to be, it was very typical. I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer. Not okay. That that's bad.
Yeah.
But it was typical because most people, when they're growing up, they don't want to be a lawyer, a doctor, or something, or engineer, because of that's what they love. They do it because we're always told that's how you make money.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to do that. But I always loved acting. The funny thing is when I was in sixth grade, me and my best friends at the time, we started this this production company called JJR, and it was Jordan, Joseph, and Rayshawn. And so every day, or at least every week, our teacher would let us come up with a skit. And so we started putting on skits in school. And it's so funny because, like, years later, I had no idea that that's what I would be doing, that I would, you know, pursue that at the time. And looking back at it, it's like, when you are, you know, when you reach a certain age and you start to look back at the things that you did when you were younger, then you may realize, huh, I'm actually doing what I loved at that time. I'm actually doing what I used to have fun with at that time. I didn't know that I would do this as a career or, you know, when I got older. But I think I always loved acting. So that did influence some of the things that I did in college and after college and doing, you know, being extras on in movies and shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. But I did want to be a lawyer or a doctor.
So and like I said, I know the struggle getting away from communities like that. How did you make your way to LA? Was it through college or was it after college?
Oh, no, it was actually very recent. It's only been 5 months that I've been in LA. I've been in LA for 5 months during the pandemic. And the funny thing is, I always knew that my brand, my vision was always a global mentality. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to stay in Detroit. I said Detroit will always be home because that's home and I absolutely love Detroit. But I knew that in order for me to grow, I had to get outside of Detroit. And so I tell people, you can't always stay where you are or tell people your dreams because their mentality can't fathom how big your dream is. Where you are cannot always contain how big your dream is. And so for me, for my brand, for myself, I just knew that Detroit couldn't contain it. And I told people, you know, I'll always be in Detroit. I'll always have like a headquarters in Detroit once I get to that moment. But back in maybe June, I started to look at places in Houston. I said, you know, I love Houston, love Texas, but Houston is where it's at for me. So I started looking up places in Houston, looking at different apartments and stuff. And then one day, I don't know, I was like, I should look at LA. And of course, the first thing people say about California is that it's too expensive. And so I'm like, man, it is pretty expensive. But anyway, I just felt, let me just look at apartments in LA. And this beautiful place popped up on apartments.com. So I started, you know, researching and getting information. And I was like, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I think I'm gonna move to LA. She said, really? Mind you, I'm the only kid she has left. So she's like, oh, don't go too far away from me. I said, no, I really feel like LA is it for me. And so I kid you not, within like a week or two, I was out looking in LA at apartments and found me a place, and within a few more weeks, I was signing a lease.
Oh, wow. Are you in that place now?
I am.
This, you guys can't see this beautiful, man, the exposed brick and the stainless steel. That's clean, man.
I love it. This place is gorgeous. This kitchen is huge. This island is probably like 15 to 18 feet.
Wow.
It's huge.
It's beautiful, man. Thank you. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love it.
So now we're at the part of the interview. There's three questions that I ask everybody, and then I'll let you go on your day because I know you're a busy guy. So the very first one is, you know, we all know that our past molded who we are, you know, and we had to navigate through some things to get where we're at now. But what would the older Chef Wilder tell to the younger Rayshawn to help him on that road?
I would tell him to stay encouraged, encourage yourself, and always pursue your dreams. I think that's so important. When you have a vision, you have to see it first. Then you have to speak it. Once you start speaking it, what you speak is what you have. What you have is what you already seen. And so I tell people, and include myself, like daily, I always tell my people this, that if the word tells us that we were created in the image and the likeness of God, and he spoke the world into motion, what he spoke had power. And if we're made in his image and in his likeness, then what we speak to has just as much power. And so I would tell Rayshawn, speak your world that you want, that you dream of, into existence. Because the more you speak it, the more you're going to see it. And the more you see it, then the more that you'll have it. And when you have it, you can look back and say, I remember when I was speaking this. I remember when I prayed for this. I remember when I saw this. And I always tell myself, even till this day, to keep going. Don't give up. Because there will be days where you want to give up. There will be days when you don't feel like praying. There will be days when it looks like you don't have any money. There will be days when you may not actually have that money. There will be days where you probably can't pay for something. There will be days when no one else is around you to encourage you. But you better encourage yourself. Speak things that be not as though they already are. Come on, somebody. And you got to keep going. You got to keep growing. You got to keep pursuing God and keep him at the forefront. Don't ever get so big and too haughty that you think that you, where you are today, is because of your gift. No, it's not because of your gift. It's the one who gave you that gift. So, you know, I always have to humble myself because, you know, with everything that's come along with my brand, it's been amazing, but it's very easy to get prideful. And I just try to make sure that I keep that in check. And I remember my spiritual dad, my pastor, he told me, he said, son, someday you're going to be bigger than me, but always remain humble. He said, my ceiling is your floor. The higher I go, the higher you're going to go, but remain humble. And that stuck with me. And he said that to me when I was probably like 14, a long time ago. So I always kept that, you know, close to my heart and keep that in the back of my mind because, you know, when you're pursuing God, when you're faithful to God and doing what he called you to do, he's going to exalt you. But with that exaltation, you have to make sure that you remain humble. So Rayshawn, stay humble. Rayshawn, keep pursuing God. Rayshawn, don't ever think that you're too big, that you can't help or bless somebody else. And so that's one of the things that I do in every interview that I have. I tell people, I just want to encourage other people. I just want to help people realize the gifts that's on the inside of them. And I just try to, you know, bring them along. As I keep going, I want you to come along too. I want you to know what it is that you're called to do. I want you to pursue that.
Well, you spoke a word. You see, I was over here. Can't wait to rewind and listen to that one again, man. I appreciate that. Tell no lies, man. Oh, goodness. So the second part, I'm a big proponent of strengthening one's mind, body, and spirit. How do you strengthen either one or all three of those areas?
Honestly, worshiping every day. like music is a big part, especially being from Detroit. Motown music is huge. But for me, like every day, it just helps me, you know. Even when I'm sleeping, one thing that I do when I'm sleeping is I turn on worship music. And as I sleep, it renews my mind. And I wake up refreshed and replenished and, you know, getting into my word and talking to friends and encouraging other people, like weekly, you know, since all my family, my main church is back in Detroit, I talk to my pastor very often, you know, so he's praying for me. Other people are praying for me. Same time I'm praying for other people. You know, I think when you need prayer, that's when you pray for somebody else. When you need encouragement, that's when you encourage somebody else. And so I think that's what really keeps me focused and centered, just, you know, worshiping every single day.
That is what's up. This is going to put you on the spot here. This is a loaded question, but Motown song that's upbeat. What's one of your favorite ones that comes to mind right off the rip?
Out around the world, are you ready for a friend of me? Yeah, hey. I so many. I love old school music. Music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, you can't beat it. Well, yeah. 90s too, because 90s had a lot of hits.
Yes, it did. My kids get tired of that. They're like, oh, this 90s stuff again. I say, we use words. They're called lyrics, man.
Right, exactly. Man, you felt music back then.
You did. It invoked a mood, man. You know, yeah. We still, to this day, a song will come on like, oh, I remember what we did then and us hanging out. You remember jokes from that era. And,
yeah.
You know, so many fond
TVs
memories.
That you had to.
Or hit the side of when it had that line on it.
Antennas, man, you got. Yeah. And when that didn't work, you had to get a little foil, put it right on the top.
Yep, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We were definitely in that. And you tell that to the kids, and we're like, "What? And we have remotes. We had to get up.
Right.
We were the remotes.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And TV used to stop at a certain time back then.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. They can't understand that.
Wow.
Well, the last question I have, man, is there anything that we didn't cover? Any words of wisdom that you want to leave for either like a young bro that's trying to either go down a similar path as you or somebody that's just trying to change their career path in general?
I would encourage people, don't be afraid to start over. Don't be afraid to step outside of the box, to think outside of the box. Don't let someone tell you what you should do, how you should look, what you should say. Don't let someone else hinder you or limit you. I think one of the things that we don't realize is that even though we can speak good things over ourselves, we can speak bad things over ourselves too. Mm-hmm. But not only yourself, because you can also speak things over other people. So if you're going to say something, make sure it's encouraging someone else. If you're going to do something, make sure that it's blessing someone else's life. If you're going to, you know, go somewhere, make sure it's with a purpose. And when you walk into a room, walk into that room as if you are, like, when I do something in food, I make sure, like, this is going to be the best dish. This is what they're going to be talking about. Not because I made it, but because I put my heart, my soul, everything of myself into what I made, because I want to please someone else. And more importantly, because my name is attached to it, I want to make sure that, you know, I get, they know that Rayshon, this is an Eyes of a Foodie product. This is a nostalgia cheesecake product. This is something that Rayshon made. You know, so that's what I would encourage people. Like, just pursue your dreams. Just go after it. Don't worry about if it goes wrong. What if it does go wrong? But more importantly, what if it goes right?
Yeah. And man, I love that, man. I love your story. Your entire story is a testimony, man. Like I said, this is the type of people that I want, young brothers like my sons and the kids that I coach and stuff, to hear stories like this, to be encouraged. Now that we're at the end of the interview, pub your stuff, bro, man. Tell these people how they can reach you, how they can follow you and get your products.
You can reach out to me on Instagram at Eyes of a Foodie, and it's underscores in between each word, or nostalgia.cheesecakes. That's also on Instagram or Facebook. You can go to Eyes of a Foodie Global or just simply Rayshon Wilder, R-E-S-H-A-W-N WILDER, or you can go to eyesofafoodie.com. You can check out YouTube. I'm sure there are tons of videos of interviews and magazine covers and all that stuff that you guys can check out as well. So I'll be posting more recipes, more cheesecakes, more just awesome things on my pages too.
Is there ways to order those? I was going through there. I didn't see. Can you get those freeze-dried and sent? Or?
Well, you know what? I'm in the process of shipping. Like, I haven't shipped yet because my products are so delicate. I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't want it to be messed up by the time that it gets to my customer. But there, it's in the works. But yes, you can order. You can order via email or on Instagram. But my email is eyesofafoodie@yahoo.com. Or once again, Eyes of a Foodie on Instagram or nostalgia.cheesecakes.
Man, I really appreciate your brother, man. I'm going to be in touch with you. Please, you guys, follow this guy. Support this. Support Black business. Support godly men. Yeah. Let's start that.
Come on.
You know?
Come on.
And like I said, I appreciate you carving this time out, man. And the second you get that shipping, put me on that mailing list I throw some of those bacon donuts in that box too.
I got you, bro. I got you.
I appreciate it, man. You be blessed out there, man, and you have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me. You have a great day as well, bro.
I hope these authentic stories show different paths to success and provide mentorship. Please be sure to visit us at drjinterviews.com for additional content and social media info. Stay resilient.